You're listening to Get Abstract, the world's biggest collection of summaries.
This is a summary of Disrupting the Game, a book by Reggie Fils-Aimé. In this insider's take about the launch of the Wii gaming console, Reggie Fils-Aimé, the CEO of Nintendo in America, describes how he navigated both cultural issues and business challenges. Writing in a breezy style, Fils-Aimé takes readers inside his interactions with Nintendo's Japanese executives. He distills a variety of pivotal experiences into simple rules of business and life. While he doesn't dwell on soul-bearing moments, Fils-Aimé does offer a detailed description of his relationship with his boss. Gamers will enjoy his recollections of the launch of the groundbreaking Wii, but Fils-Aimé keeps his business lessons general enough to apply to any industry. So let's hear the first takeaway. Sometimes you have to stand your ground, even when your boss disagrees. Reggie Fils-Aimé was instrumental in Nintendo's U.S. launch of the Wii Remote. The product was noteworthy for its motion-sensing technology. Fils-Aimé worked with Leo Burnett, a New York ad agency, to design an advertising campaign that featured two Japanese businessmen touring the United States to show the new device to American consumers. Fils-Aimé felt certain the ads would be a hit, but shortly before they began airing, his boss, Nintendo president Satoru Iwata, called from Japan at the last moment to say the ads had to be changed. In Japan, Iwata said, executives would never interact as casually with customers as the people depicted in the ad. Fils-Aimé pushed back, but his boss initially stood his ground. Fils-Aimé insisted that Westerners have a much different view of social interactions. His boss relented, and the ads and the product were a hit. As a leader who prided himself on disruption and innovation, Fils-Aimé repeatedly butted heads with his bosses and with entrenched ways of doing business. The Wii launch press conference was a success, and Iwata asked Fils-Aimé to deliver an identical presentation to retailers. Fils-Aimé didn't think it was the right call. The launch press conference focused on the new Wii Sports offerings. But Fils-Aimé believed retailers wanted to know that Zelda, the successful game franchise, would be available for the new console. Zelda would signal to retailers that they should take the Wii seriously, because it would generate profits. The highly choreographed presentation was ready, and Fils-Aimé feared last-minute changes might trigger a technical meltdown during a key presentation to crucial partners. He declined to back down, even though he sensed Iwata's disappointment. Their disagreement was respectful and cordial, and Fils-Aimé stuck to what he believed was right. Okay, let's move on to the second takeaway. Reggie Fils-Aimé agitates for difficult decisions. When the Wii launched in the United States, Fils-Aimé pushed hard to have Wii Sports packaged as preloaded software on the gaming console. Nintendo's Japanese Brain Trust opposed the proposal. Fils-Aimé argued that Japan's gaming market differed from the American market. For example, the Wii didn't face competition from the Xbox in Japan. He maintained that Wii Sports provided an excellent showcase for Wii's innovative features, and he eventually got his way. These episodes underscore the importance of standing up for your beliefs, Fils-Aimé says, though he advises picking your battles carefully. In every decision, business people must strip out their own emotions and examine their hidden motivations. Listen carefully to other views and show you understand their perspectives. If you find yourself espousing a contrarian view, as Fils-Aimé did, make your argument persuasively and back it with data and examples. Even as you push your own point of view, respect the opinions of others. Don't steamroll or belittle your rivals. Presenting your case in an empathetic, compelling manner will help those who disagree with you become willing to support your approach. Iwata warned Fils-Aimé about the dangers of always getting his way. This reminded Fils-Aimé that even the most insightful leaders must work with diplomacy and humility to build a consensus. Here's the next takeaway. Go into every decision-making process with a clear objective. When Fils-Aimé was in high school on Long Island, he realized he wanted to go to college. His parents had grown up in Haiti and knew nothing about higher education in the United States. the guidance counselors at his high school were too busy to give him advice. Fils-Aimé, a strong student, understood that he was also a good enough athlete to get scholarship offers from Division III schools. He learned that a scholarship from the Reserve Officers Training Corps, ROTC, a U.S. pre-military curriculum, would pay his tuition if he needed it. Fils-Aimé couldn't afford to apply to many colleges, and so he limited his applications to Syracuse University, Cornell University, and a small college that offered him an athletic scholarship. All three accepted him, and Fils-Aimé went to Cornell with ROTC financial support. Fils-Aimé later realized he had approached the college admissions process with the same system he uses to solve business problems. He started by identifying his goal, a habit he maintains today. He begins each meeting by identifying his overarching objective. If the discussion gets off track, he steers it back to the central focus. Once the objective is clear, choosing the right path toward that goal becomes a straightforward matter of weighing different approaches by using a what-if analysis. Okay, let's listen to takeaway number 4. Diversity is about race and gender and mindset. After graduating, Fils-Aimé took a job at Procter & Gamble. The business world considered the company a fast track to success. But Fils-Aimé was an unusual hire because he didn't have an MBA. After several years at P&G, he gained promotion. For one of his first hires, he narrowed the field to 3 candidates. 2 were men with MBAs from brand-name schools, and the third was a woman who had worked in executive recruiting and had little in her background that seemed to fit the P&G mold. But Fils-Aimé advocated hiring her because her combination of drive and bootstrapping reminded him of himself. Fils-Aimé's boss disagreed, arguing that a more traditional candidate posed less risk. Fils-Aimé insisted on hiring the female candidate, and his instincts proved right. She hustled as much as Fils-Aimé expected, and she went on to a successful 20-year career with P&G. Diversity wasn't a corporate edict at the time, but Fils-Aimé intuited that her non-traditional life experiences would bring something new to a corporate team. Time for another takeaway. Long-term thinking is crucial, but difficult to embrace. After leaving P&G, Fils-Aimé went to Pizza Hut, where he became responsible for increasing sales and competing with the Little Caesars pizza chain. The U.S. economy was in recession in the early 1990s, and Little Caesars was thriving by selling pies with 2-for-1 pricing. Little Caesars pizzas were inferior, but it didn't matter. A rival had a hit, and Fils-Aimé's brand needed to respond. Pizza Hut's counterpunch was the Bigfoot Pizza, a massive 2-foot-by-1-foot rectangle that sold for the same price as Little Caesars' 2-for-1 deal. Its quality was also poor, but the goal was selling pizza cheaply. The Bigfoot Pizza boosted sales and improved profits. But of necessity to control costs, Pizza Hut made the Bigfoot Pizza with inferior ingredients, so stores often burned the crust and the cheese. At the same time, the higher-fat cheese made the pies mushy if stores didn't cook them long enough. After about 6 months, it became clear the low-quality Bigfoot Pizza was hurting Pizza Hut's brand. Fils-Aimé made a tough call and recommended killing the product even though it was a big hit. He was thinking about the long term. A quick boost in revenue didn't justify sacrificing Pizza Hut's reputation. Okay, let's continue. Here's takeaway number 6. Sometimes the best career decisions involve taking a risk and bucking conventional wisdom. In the early 2000s, Fils-Aimé was weighing another career move. Both Pepsi and Nintendo wanted to hire him. As a Japan-based gaming company, Nintendo faced a number of headwinds. Its in-home consoles were an afterthought to the Sony PlayStation, and Microsoft's Xbox had emerged as a competitor. Nintendo dominated the handheld market with its Game Boy, but Sony was moving on that space too. Fils-Aimé's friends advised him against joining Nintendo. They argued that the gaming business was small, that the required move to Seattle would be difficult for a native New Yorker, and that as an American, he would be out of place at a Japanese company. But Fils-Aimé was an avid gamer with a passion for the business. He and his children were longtime Nintendo fans. At Pepsi, he would be a cog in a large machine where he would have to seek small improvements in revenue and profits. But he could play an important role in turning around the momentum at Nintendo. Fils-Aimé applied a combination of analytics and gut instinct to make his decision, which proved to be the right call. Now for takeaway 7. When he joined Nintendo, Fils-Aimé worked hard on the people side of his job. Once in Seattle, Fils-Aimé took pains to build rapport with his new coworkers. Mike Fukuda, a Japanese national who had spent years with Nintendo, was a pivotal executive. He had important information that Fils-Aimé needed as head of sales and marketing. But Fils-Aimé's department had burned Fukuda in the past, under different leadership. So Fils-Aimé made a point of meeting regularly with Fukuda, even going to Fukuda's office despite technically holding a higher rank within the company. This small concession was an important gesture that symbolized humility and teamwork. Breaking down communication barriers is one of his primary goals. During an important gaming conference in Los Angeles, Fils-Aimé was surprised to learn that in his position as director of sales and marketing, he got the grandest suite in the hotel, a room with a grand piano and sweeping views. Nintendo president Satoru Iwata stayed in a much smaller room. Fils-Aimé offered to switch, but Iwata declined to take the larger room. Fils-Aimé frequently invited his boss to the suite for breakfast and arranged for a dinner there with his teammates. Fils-Aimé was disappointed to learn that formal relationship building wasn't part of Nintendo's culture. He believed that knowing his colleagues' motivations and perspectives would lead to better business outcomes. Now let's hear the 8th and final takeaway. Turning around a struggling company requires finding new ways of doing business. Fils-Aimé knew that boosting Nintendo's momentum required dramatic changes. When the Nintendo DS hit retail shelves, he introduced a program that rewarded merchants who aggressively marketed the new product by delivering more launch inventory to them. Nintendo's previous approach was to allocate inventory according to market share. The new strategy gave retailers incentives to push Nintendo's products. After Fils-Aimé became president of Nintendo of America, Inc., he changed the way the company handled problematic managers. He had to deal with a manager who was technically adept, but who was not good at leading people. Fils-Aimé had to tell the manager that if he didn't improve, and if he didn't treat his 30-person team with respect, he'd have to find a different role. Fils-Aimé delivered the news, then assigned a coach to the problem manager and regularly checked on his progress. The manager was unable to change and decided to leave the company. The episode showed the danger of allowing managers to behave badly over a period of years. It also illustrated that a more proactive culture would improve Nintendo's business results. In another risk, Nintendo decided to allow the Wii to stream Netflix videos. At the time of the decision, Netflix was little known in Japan, but the move meant the Wii could become a primary device in North American living rooms. That was a summary of Disrupting the Game, a book by Reggie Fils-Aimé. Here's the 8 takeaways once more. Takeaway 1. Sometimes you have to stand your ground, even when your boss disagrees. Takeaway 2. Reggie Fils-Aimé agitates for difficult decisions. Takeaway 3. Go into every decision-making process with a clear objective. The 4th takeaway. Diversity is about race and gender and mindset. Takeaway 5. Long-term thinking is crucial, but difficult to embrace. Takeaway 6. Sometimes the best career decisions involve taking a risk and bucking conventional wisdom. Takeaway 7. When he joined Nintendo, Fils-Aimé worked hard on the people side of his job. And takeaway 8. Turning around a struggling company requires finding new ways of doing business.
You've been listening to a summary by Get Abstract. For more summaries on this and related topics, visit our app and website.